never know. If you're new around here, my name is Mark. I'm the pastor around here, and I'm living proof, as I always say, that you don't have to be perfect to serve God. I struggled with codependency, and several years ago, I went through a divorce, still have the scars from that. And the thing I've learned along the way is Jesus still likes me, and he still wants me to do good things for him. And people told me I couldn't be in ministry when I got divorced. I had some folks that said that, and what I learned from that is I can't be in ministry with people who are perfect. But I found a whole lot of people that I can still work with and that I can still maybe help along the way, and that helped me. Sometimes people say, you know, I love the recovery program. It just helps me so much. Let me tell you the truth. It helps me. Okay? I'm the one up there does some talking, but it helps me too. We all help each other. And where that help comes from is from Jesus. We always say that. It's Jesus Christ. It's Scripture. It's 12 steps. We live that out every day. You get better. And that's what we do. And so from the Scripture tonight, I wanted to look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And as usual, I'm going to read from the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible just because it's a translation that speaks plain English. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, so obviously we have to have it translated to English. But there's different ways of speaking, and some of the translations are more formal. This one's very cut and dry. It's very simplistic. It just speaks plain English. We've got some more ordered. We've given a bunch of these away. We've got some more ordered to be here next week. If you don't have a copy of this, we'll give you one. The only catch is you have to read it. It'll be away for free just to have it sit on the table somewhere you have to read it. But I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, as I like to do. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the folks, to the Ephesian church, and he writes this. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in an old, stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. I'm going to come back to that, but I want to pause for a second. I hope that sounded familiar to somebody. That we let the world, who doesn't know a thing about how to live life, tell us how to live. See, most of the time, we got ourselves into whatever mess we got ourselves into. We struggle with whatever we are recovering from because somewhere along the way, we got an idea of doing stuff wrong. We get an idea that we would go down a path because the world told us this is how we need to live our life when the world doesn't know the first thing about how to live life. Now, when we say the world, sometimes that becomes kind of abstract. That's a great big word. Great big word that includes everybody. So let's define what we mean when we say the world doesn't know how to live life. That can take a lot of forms.
One of them is your family.
Now, you know, some of us have good families, some of us have good family members. Some of you know, you have to be discreet about this stuff because not every family is good. Some of them are all bad. Some of them you got good family members and bad family members. But listen, families are nuts. Families are crazy places. And if you're living life the way your family lives it, well, stop doing that. Because most likely, your family's crazy. All right, your family's messed up. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying that because it's a fallen world. People are messed up. And just because we love them and just because we're kin to them doesn't mean that they know how to tell us how to live our life or to show us how we should live our life. So people will say all the time, well, that's just the way I was raised. Well, who cares? Did Jesus tell you to do that? Your family doesn't know how you need to live your life unless they're following Jesus. Now, if you've got a family that's following Jesus, by all means, follow him with them. But if you don't have a family that is following Jesus, then they don't know how to live life. And one of the reasons we get messed up in what Paul says, the mired in the old stagnant life of sin, is because we started doing things the way our family has always done it. Your family doesn't know anything about living life unless they're following Jesus. I'll say it again. If your family's following Jesus, then fall in with them. But if your family is not following Jesus in every way, they don't know about how to live life. You can apply this to a whole bunch of other folks. Your friends, Okay? I hope you have good friends. Sometimes our friends are idiots. We may like them. We may enjoy hanging out with them. They may be fun. They might not be too bright. All right? And they might not be following Jesus. And so you got to think about that stuff. Do the people you're hanging out with, do the people you're following, do the people you're mimicking, the people telling you how to live your life, and they might not be just telling you directly, but they kind of lead you that way. Do they know how to live life? Are they living it right? And if they're not, stop following them. They don't know a thing about how to live. And they're telling us how to do that. Now, this is a common problem, which Paul tells us in the next verse. He said, we all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing, when we felt like doing it, all in the same boat. That's an amazing statement from the Apostle Paul. Because he had his past too. We've all got stuff. One of the things that we always say is everybody's in recovery for something. Everybody's dealing with stuff. Okay? Everybody's in recovery for something. Not everybody understands that. Not everybody's on the road to recovery, but everybody's got scars. You don't get through this life without scars. You don't get through this life without challenges. There's going to be problems along the way. Everybody deals with stuff. And the Apostle Paul says this, that we all did it. We've all messed this stuff up. We've all let people lead us down the wrong path. We've all made bad choices. That we did what we wanted to do, when we wanted to do it, and we're all in the same boat. We're all in this stuff together. Okay? We've all got stuff. We can't look down on other people, and we can't let other people look down on us. Okay? Because we're all in the same boat. We are all sinners. We are all struggling with something. We all have scars. Sometimes when we get into a place that we understand we need recovery, when we kind of hit that place where we think, oh man, I gotta get myself together. I gotta get some help. I can't keep living like this. When we get to that point, sometimes we beat ourselves up and we start thinking, I gotta be the biggest idiot on the planet. Well, no, Paul tells us we're all idiots. He didn't say it that way. He just says we all got problems. We've all got stuff that we don't need to beat ourselves up because we're in recovery. We don't have to look down on ourselves because we've made mistakes, because we've messed stuff up, because we come from a crazy family, whatever it might be. Because we've messed up our life in some way, Paul says we've all been there. We are all in the same boat. We've all got scars. We've all got regrets. We've got stuff. We're all there. Now, he wrote this stuff almost 2,000 years ago. This is not new. Okay? Some of the temptations may be new. Some of the things that we've done might be new. Some of the drugs might be new. Whatever it is. But the sin is not a new thing. He wrote this to the church, okay? He wrote this to a church almost 2,000 years ago, all right? This was not just some den of sinners. This was a church he was writing to, telling them we're all in the same boat, okay? This is not separating people out. This is understanding that we're all dealing with the human stuff because we all live in the world. Where we have families and friends and co-workers and all kinds of people that will lead us the wrong way, that will get us into a bad place. He says, we're all there together. We're all in the same boat. And he says, it's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. God would have had every right, as messed up as we all are, going all the way back. Like I said, he wrote this like 2,000 years ago to a church. God would have had every right to lose his temper and wipe us all out. God doesn't have any obligation to fix us. He has no obligation to save us. He has no obligation to make us better. He just does it anyway. We don't have to jump through a lot of hoops. We don't have to say any magic words. We don't have to do anything because God is not obligated to do anything for us, but he does it anyway. Just because that's who God is. just because God wants to. Just because God loves us, God even likes us. He doesn't like what we do. He doesn't like the mess we get into. But he does it because he likes us. He enjoys us. He knows how completely awesome we can be. And he wants to save us from the mess we get ourselves into. He didn't have to do that. He wants to do that. He's motivated to do that. Also, that's a wonder he didn't just wipe us all out. But because of his mercy, because of his love, God wants to save us. And he goes on to say, and he did this all on his own with no help from us. We talk about this all the time around here. This is not about picking yourself up by your bootstraps. This is not about getting yourself together. This is not about getting everything right. This is about God. This is about Jesus Christ in our life leading us in a new direction. And one of the reasons we were in recovery and then we fall out of that, we kind of, in the old phrase, we fall off the wagon, whatever that means, in whatever area we're struggling with, one of the reasons we do that is we just get tired. You see, we still got that old world trying to tell us how to live, even though the world doesn't have any idea how to live. We still have a family, we still have the friends, we still have whatever it is in our life, still trying to tell us how to live our life and influence us in ways when the world has no idea how to live the right way. We still have that. And if we have this idea that I'm going to pick myself up by my bootstraps, I'm going to get myself together, I'm going to figure out the road to be on, and I'm going to be on that road, and I'm going to do it this time, man, that'll wear you out. That will wear you out. That is tiring. And we can get all ramped up, and we can get all excited, and we can make sure we toe the line for a while, and then we just get tired. We get tired of that. Now, I don't have this documented, but I have been told by people who said they knew what they were doing, that the average number, some of you may know this better than me, so you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I have been told that the average number of times a person goes to rehab, the average number of times that an addict will be in rehab is 8. That's what I've been told. Some of you may know those statistics better than me, I could be wrong. And I think to myself, why 8? That seems like a lot. You know, that seems like a lot of times a person would have to go back to continue to be in recovery. And I don't know that I can tell you all the reasons why, but I can tell you one of them, I think. People just get tired because they're doing it the wrong way. They're depending on their own strength and their own abilities and their own wisdom and their own determination and their own willpower. And they can do that for a while, and then they crash. And when they crash, they gotta go back. Now, let me say this. I want to say this real clear. If it takes 100 times in rehab to be in recovery, then God bless you for going 100 times. There is nothing wrong with going multiple times. I hope everybody hears me say that. There is nothing wrong if you need to go. I don't care how many times you have to go. But I do want to say that I hope there's a different reason than you just wearing yourself out because you're doing everything yourself. Paul tells us we didn't do any of it. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. That we're all in the same boat. God didn't have to help us out. God wants to. God wants to save every single one of us from the mess we're in. He wants to lead us on a different path than what the world would tell us. What your family would tell you, what your friends would tell you, what the people around you would tell you that don't know a thing about living if they're not following Jesus. He wants to put us on a different path. And he doesn't want to do that by just encouraging us to pick ourselves up and be determined and have willpower and get it right this time. That's not going to work. We have to understand that the road to recovery is God. that it is about Jesus Christ in our life. And God does it. God remakes us. God leads us. That we have to be with God every single day. That's why we say it's about Jesus. It's about Scripture. It's about 12 steps. It's about living that out every day. That every day we walk with God because this has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with our willpower. It has nothing to do with our determination. Because a lot of you know better than I do. If it was about determination, it would have been better a long time ago. If it was about wanting to get better, it'd been better a long time ago. There's probably plenty of determination in this room. Plenty of willpower. Plenty of effort. And there's probably some testimonies that fall on our faces. Despite that effort. That's because it's not about us. It is about God leading us. About being God's child, following God. That it is all about what He does, not about what we do. That He saves us, we don't save ourselves. It's not that God gives us a little push down the road to recovery, and then we figure it out. It is God continually, every day, leading us in that recovery. Every single day. And then there's some really good news. The last part of the passage that I'll read tonight. Then He picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. I said a while ago, sometimes we beat ourselves up because we struggle with stuff, we have difficulties, we make mistakes, we have addictions, we have compulsive behaviors, we have toxic relationships, and we get ourselves into all this stuff and we think, I must be the biggest idiot in the world. Paul says we're all in the same boat, but when Jesus saves us from this stuff, He doesn't just leave us to struggle. He doesn't just push us out into the road to recovery and say, figure it out. Good luck. He sets us to a high place. That we are set in the company with Jesus. And one of the reasons that we do follow our family or our friends or the people that are in our life, people that raise us, whatever it is, one of the reasons we follow the world is because at some level, everybody wants to be somebody. We want to fit in somewhere. We want the world to make sense. We want to do something that defines who we are. And that's why we're so quick sometimes to say, well, that's just the way I was raised. Because at least we fit in with that group. Now, we may despise them. We may not get along with them. We may know that they're messed up. But I at least come from there. That I fit in there. Those are my people, messed up as they might be. These are my friends, messed up as they may be. We all want to be with somebody. We all want to be somebody in our life. We want to identify somewhere. And a lot of times that's what messes us up. That's why we let the world that knows nothing about how to live tell us how to live. Now, as I mentioned before, not a new thing. Paul wrote it to the church. He wrote it to the Ephesians almost 2,000 years ago. This is part of human nature. We just want to fit. We just want to fit in somewhere. We need something to follow. We need something to make sense, even if it's toxic. We get into these toxic relationships, and we know they're bad for us, but we stay in them because we're so afraid. What if I don't get another relationship? What if I'm alone? What if everybody turns on me? We get into our addictions, and we try to get them in recovery, and all of a sudden our friends aren't our friends anymore. Because they don't want to be in recovery. They want us to still be at the bars with them, or using with them, whatever it is. And we want to fit. We want to have friends. We want to have family. We want to have people around us. We want to be somebody. And so we let that world dictate to us how to live, even though Paul said way back then, the world doesn't know how to live. What God wants is not just to pull us out of the toxic relationships and the messed up decisions that we make. He has something good for us. He's not going to just pull us out of that to leave us alone. Paul says that he picked us up out of all that mess and set us in the highest heaven in company with Jesus. And that's not just when we die and go to heaven. That is now. That we are part of the family of God, that we have Jesus with us all the time, that we are somebody, not out of what we do, but because Jesus says we are. We are a creation of Jesus Christ. We are a creation of God. God created us, and God says we're somebody. And we don't have to live the way everybody tells us to live. We don't have to do what we're supposed to do. We don't have to try to please everybody. Okay? We don't have to follow our family tradition. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff because God has made us something special in Jesus Christ. We fit with Him. We fit with His people. God wants us to be His, not as His slave, not as someone that would try to destroy our life or keep us from having fun. He wants us to be His because He knows we need to belong. He knows we need Him. He knows we need each other. And so He has pulled us out of all that stuff, not just so we can figure it out, not so we can just be determined, but that we can be in the company of Jesus, in the company of God's children, to live that life with people that actually know how to live life and to be taught to live life by God, who is the creator of life. God knows how to do this. The world doesn't know anything about living life. God knows, the creator of life, knows how to live it. When we mess it up, He can destroy us if He wanted to, but He doesn't want to. He'll pull us out of that. He doesn't look for us to figure out a way to get better. He wants to make us better. And He doesn't want us to identify with all the stuff in the world. He wants us to identify as a child of God because He made us to be somebody. We don't need all the other stuff. There may be desires in our body for all the other stuff, the compulsions and the addictions and all the stuff that we deal with. But God did not make us need that. He sets us at a higher place. He makes us somebody. He makes us a family. He gives us a life. This was written 2,000 years ago. Stuff we're dealing with is not a new problem. When we find ourselves in a mess, we are not the biggest idiot in the world. We're just another in a very long line of people that need God. The good news is, God really wants us. Let's pray together. God, we thank You that You're not just telling us what to do, telling us to get better, giving us a list of rules. Instead, You want to pull us out of the mess that we are in. You want to show us how to live life. You want to walk that life with us. You want to set us in high places with Jesus Himself, our Savior. And so, Lord, help us to stop listening to a world that knows nothing about how to live, and to walk every day with You, to live life as You teach us to live, in Your Word, that we follow Your Scripture, we follow the 12 steps, we do it every day because we are followers of Jesus, that we don't follow our family traditions or our friends or anything else, we follow You, knowing that You could have wiped us out a long time ago, but You just enjoy us too much, You love us too much to do that, and you want to set us in high places. So help us, Lord, to make the decision not to give up our determination, our willpower, our setting our own course and trying to really hard do it this time. And instead, let us give our life to You fully, knowing that You've got good things for us, that You make us somebody, and that we don't have to wonder how to live life. You're the creator of life, and You'll teach us how. Help us to make that decision in Christ's name. Amen.